I'm going to sing Dave version of Crosby, Stills. No, actually, Graham Nash wrote it. They sang it. Teach Your Children. I don't know. At least it was at Northern Michigan, so it's been at least over 20 years ago. I don't know if we did it before then. But anyway, the Dave version changed the lyrics somewhat. You'll be able to tell that if you're familiar with the song. And also, just another note, if I yodel a time or two, I was singing it earlier, warming up, and my voice kind of did one of those little things, and Carrie said it sounded like you yodeled, so that's okay. You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by. So live by, and so take care to know the truth before this life becomes a goodbye. Teach your children well. Heaven and hell, they'll one day come by and lead them on the way. God's word a lamp, a light to walk by. If they ever ask you why, you have a reason from on high, so don't look at them and sigh. But show you love them, and you of tender years can't know the fears that your elders grew by. And so please help them with your youth, the gift of truth, a part of your lives. Teach your parents well, heaven and hell, they'll one day come by and help them on their way. God's word a lamp, a light to walk by. If they ever ask you why, you have a reason from on high, so don't look at them and sigh. But show you love them. Realized a few minutes ago I'm out of uniform. I don't have my jacket on, so it's kind of warm. I think I'll keep it that way. Would you pray with me? Father, speak to us this morning. Help us to worship you, Lord. Help us to sit in your midst in eternity, in your strength, the power of your word, the truthfulness of your word, is to cut through every phase of our lives. We praise you, Mighty One, in Jesus' name. Amen. Eve as the mother of all. Eve as the mother of all. As I recall, I can't think in the past. This thought came to me. I think maybe one or two of my commentators in Genesis might have said something about that, but I've not thought in the past of Eve as my mother. Is my original parent? Yes. But mother? No, not really. I believe and hold to the biblical account of Adam and Eve as the biological parents of all humans on the planet. God's word said it, done, settled. I just had never thought of Eve in this way. But if we could think of Eve for a little while this morning as our mother, what might she have to say? What might she pass on to us? Would you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? Genesis 1, 26. And actually, on your study sheet, you've got all these verses, too. On the inside, everything. I think all these verses are printed out, or almost all of them. But first of all, know who you are. Eve would... Now, you realize I'm not saying that Eve really says this. I'm just saying as if we looked at it. And I don't know how appropriate... I don't know, maybe it's fairly appropriate on Mother's Day to mention a funeral. But I preached my dad's funeral. My mom's funeral, I couldn't. It was sudden. She had left our house on a Saturday evening, and within 10 minutes, she was killed in a car crash. And I really would have liked to have preached Mom's funeral, but I didn't know until the last minute whether I was going to make it through Dad's funeral. And so I was able to write my thoughts out and communicate that, and the pastor of the church we were attending at the time read that for me. But I couldn't. But one of the, there's certain times when I do funerals and I say, you know, I can tell you, I know this person well enough. This is what they are going to want you to hear. And I don't know Eve like that. We don't know a whole lot about her. So we're going to speculate a little bit. But if you can think of someone who you've lost in the past, and this is what I shared with my dad. I said, you know, more confident than any other person I've done a funeral for. I said, I can tell you, Dad would want you to hear this. So we're speculating some as far as the Eve part, but the scriptures, that's not speculation. What are things that we really need to know? And mothers, things that you would want to communicate to your children. And that is, know who you are. Know who you are. Now, that can take in a broad variety of topics. But let's think specifically in relation to God's word. And in Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, and we could say woman there too, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So just write down to basics, know who we are. Know that you're God's creation. And know that God took great care in your life, in this creation. If you could turn to Psalm 139, like this is actually in your study notes, but if you want to turn your Bible, Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. For you, speaking to God, for you have formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, you know, all along our lives, we might kind of struggle with that this wonderful creation. You're growing up, you know, the mirror thing doesn't change, does it? The mirror gets you whether you're young or old. When you're young, you know, whether you struggle with acne or if you like, you're like me, I kept waiting for that growth spurt that never happened. And they have to understand, because we have to see these things in context of eternity, and that God made you, he took care in making you. He didn't just in general made, but specifically you. He says, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My soul knows it very well. And these are things, not just this truth of Scripture, but we have to ask ourselves, does our soul know that very well? Do we know that we're God's creation? Yes, we're fallen. We were created in his image. We're fallen. And when we come back on the 22nd, we're going to continue in Genesis 3 and see this and examine this fallen nature even more. But my frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. A lot of care. So we want you, as a mother, and what you might pass on to us is to know who you are. To know who you are. Second, live in the blessing of God. In Genesis 1, verse 28. See, we have to understand that God's original purpose was to share life with us. He created this world. He created all the plant life, all the trees, all the animals, whether they're the swarming, swimming creatures in the rivers and the oceans, or the ones climbing trees or running across the ground, from oxen to squirrel. God created all of these things, and he set man and woman at the pinnacle of that. We have this idea of God, and God is this angry judge, and God doesn't want us to have fun. It's like, well, if this is, you know, seems good, it must be sin, because God wouldn't want us to enjoy anything. It's the total opposite. God wanted us to thrive, to enjoy life, to drink in all of his goodness. We were the ones who rebelled and rejected God's good plan for our lives. But in Genesis 1:28, it says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And so it was. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and the morning. There was morning the sixth day, and it was very good. And he handed the keys to the kingdom over to the humans. I had mentioned to you that was Stuart Briscoe, his commentary on Deuteronomy, different book, but that same idea. We sometimes miss God's picture, and it was enjoy life. And God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy fellowship with him, walking with him. So live in the blessing of God. Live in the blessing of God. Now, the blessing of God isn't living out here the way I want to live and asking God for his blessing on the way that I choose to live. That's not living in the blessing of God. We have a book, a holy book, a divine information, divine data, God's word, the Bible. That's how we live in his blessing. Okay? Which brings us to our third point. Trust God and his word over your own understanding and wisdom. You think that maybe Eve could teach us a thing or two here, because she did just the opposite, didn't she? She might, if we were to speculate, she might say, man, I wish I'd had Proverbs 3, 5 to 7, when that serpent, that crafty serpent, came and tricked me and deceived me in the garden. Because see, we will have many things, a lot of confusing things, a lot of hurtful things, but we will always have a clear direction from God in his word. Now, it's interesting, and pretty sure this is in your study notes. I'm going to turn over here to Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, if we think through that, in Sunday school, we're going through the study, how to approach God through his word, how to hear God speak to us, actually hear God's voice as we're reading the Bible, and not just reading all of our own thoughts into it, or just wading through all of the layers of our subculture and the things that we've been taught, but actually hearing God's voice. And a few things from this text. First, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. See, God gets very specific. We say, well, we want to trust God. But you know what we do? It's like, well, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to take a wait and see approach. We don't maybe say this, but it's like we're going to hold back. We're going to see, okay, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to give you this much room to operate. Now, I'm going to see what you're going to do. Doesn't work like that. What did we learn in James? A double-minded man, double-minded woman if we ask and we're doubting. See, we're not going to see God's movement in our lives. And so it's with all our heart. But here, this even just this morning, as I'm reviewing these things, here's what really stood out to me in this second part of verse 5. And do not lean on your own understanding. Moms, don't teach your children to lean on your understanding. Do not teach your children to lean on the common wisdom of this age, what will get them by in this world. You see, lean on what they're going to rely on, what they're going to depend on, what you need to lean on, to depend on, to rely on, not your own understanding. And it doesn't say here, see, it doesn't say that we don't have understanding, does it? And even sometimes in we're trying to sort things out with someone, and we might say, now, do I understand that you're saying this? So just we want to understand things. And when this would be most directly obvious is when our understanding conflicts with something clearly written in God's Word. You know one of the biggest things that you can teach your children, Mom? God's way of forgiveness. Do you know how many ways of forgiveness there are? Now, you don't have this one in your study notes. If you want to turn to Ephesians 4:32. Do you know how many ways of forgiveness there are? There's two ways. There's God's way that he shows us, he speaks to us in Ephesians 4:32. Now, that's not the only place God speaks of forgiveness, but this is a pretty good place. There's that way, and then there's every other way else, because they're just human thoughts. And see, this is one of the things that when we lean on our own understanding, people are very fearful of God's idea of forgiveness. If I forgive them of this, they'll do this. They have hurt me so badly. I will never forgive them. I will never put myself in that position again. Now, that can actually be valid. You don't put yourself in a position to be hurt again. But what we do is we're good Christian people, and we believe in forgiveness, but we're going to draw the line right here. Well, you know what you just did? You've got the same idea of forgiveness as everybody else in the world apart from God. I hope you follow that. There's two ways of forgiveness. Ephesians gives us a real good idea of God's idea. He says, and be kind to one another. I mean, I've heard people over the years, I mean, more times than I'd like to remember. I've had jaw-dropping times. The opposition to forgiveness. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now, we're okay so far, aren't we? We're okay so far, aren't we? Well, I'm sorry, but it's not God's forgiveness if you don't practice the whole verse. As God in Christ forgave you. We have a young lady we love dearly, and man, is she a beauty. Chloe, our granddaughter, and she's going to get married a week from tomorrow, Lord willing. And we're going to be up there just having a great time, Lord willing. And if I could tell them one thing, if I could pass on one thing to them, if they ask Papa, that's who I am. There, that's my disguise, Papa. And it's just because they're grown women now, and I'm still Papa. And but if they could say, well, can you just tell, just one thing, Papa? And I'd say, forgiveness as God shows us forgiveness. Folks, we rash the Church of Jesus Christ. We blow it. We blow it on this. And that's why I try like once a year just to focus on forgiveness. Of course, I'll mention it throughout the year. We'll forgive, but well, I just can't do that. I'm going to draw my line. Well, when you draw the line, then there's two categories of forgiveness. There's God's forgiveness and the way he directs us to that, and there's everybody else. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian. It doesn't matter if you call yourself an agnostic, an atheist, a Muslim, a Hindu. It doesn't matter if you have no religious affiliation. There are two categories. There's God's forgiveness and there's a human rationalization that we lean on our own understanding. And why do we do that? Because we're fearful. God says, oh no. He said, you forgive as I call you to give. And he said, you know that song, Lean on Me. That was not planned. I need to just stifle those things before they pop out. Charles Spurgeon, not to compare myself to Charles Spurgeon, but it comes to mind every now and then, putting a lid on those things. And he had, apparently for a number of years, a lady who would send him a letter every Monday morning and criticize his Sunday message. And one of the criticisms that consistently was that he used far too much humor. And he said, if she only knew how I restrained myself with that. But anyway, the lean on God part, let's hang on to that and forget. Were we going to lean on God? Are we going to trust in Him with all our heart? God says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That takes a lot of trust. Little incidental thing, someone cited you a little bit. Yeah, that's no big deal, but it's when that, do you believe that you can, yes, you may be put in a vulnerable position, but that God will take care of you, that God will make you strong in that? He will. He'll make you stronger than you could ever make yourself strong. And this is the reason for so many people, their dysfunction. They're trying to make themselves strong. And they're going to put up their guard, and they're going to put up their wall, and they're going to build their defenses. And God says, lean on me. And one of the ways that we do that is forgiveness. It's the way we speak to people. It's the way we speak about people. But back in Proverbs 3 and verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways. You know, it's when we slow down enough, it's like driving fast by a sign. You ever see a sign, you drive by too fast, the print's too small or whatever, and you get part of it, but you don't get it all. And that's what sometimes with our Bible reading, with our Bible study, we go too fast. But in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. You know, we look, He is Lord over all, in all of our ways. And it gets, sometimes it's that fearful thing. Sometimes it's just, but if I do that, God's going to want me to do this. So I'm just going to stop it back here. I don't really want to refuse God. We kind of try and end around so we don't get to that point. But it's rebellion all the same in all of our ways. Back to, do we trust? Do we lean on God? God said, in all your ways acknowledge me. I will lead you down a path that you would not have chosen, God will tell us. And He will also tell us He will care for us. Let me, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. This one's not in your notes either. Verse 5, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, no, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. You know what we want to do a lot of times? We want to go, we've got a song about it, and I won't sing that one. Verse 7, we want to go casting all your cares upon God, and we have posters and different things. But you know what we don't do? That flows right from verse 6. See, verse 6 brings us to the place where we can cast all of our cares on God, where we can lean on Him. And where is that place where we can cast all of our cares upon God? Where is that place where we can lean on God and not on our own understanding? Where we can in all of our ways acknowledge Him? Well, it tells us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that at the proper time, He will lift you up. He will exalt you. Because that's another reason we don't want to follow the forgiveness route, or we don't want to follow the humility route, because, well, that person's going to get over on me, and this person's going to do this, and this person. God said, if we humble ourselves before Him, see what happens there is, first of all, you're obeying God. But you will see his greatness in a way that you have not seen before. And if you practice this in your life, what you will see is that it doesn't matter what the care is. And you'll keep learning this. You will keep learning this. I'm 63 years old and I'm still learning that. I'm not saying that just for the sake of saying it. God impresses that on me. It's just like, thank you, Lord, because there's things that I can lean on him. There's cares that I can cast on him. That years ago, I struggled much more in doing that. Because God is showing himself greater and greater, this sovereign Lord. We want to just go to casting all of our cares because we're back again. We're not acknowledging God in all of our ways. We want to live our life and we want God to bless it. But that's not living in the blessing of God. And back in Proverbs 3, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Understand that apart from God, what a fool you can be. Now, this is an advantage I have over a lot of people because I know what a fool I've been in the past and what a fool I would be apart from the grace of God, apart from him leading me in his truth. And that's something good. And not wise in our own eyes, not we can handle it, but fear the Lord, reverence the Lord, and turn away from evil. So know who you are. Live in the blessing of God. Trust God and his word over your own understanding and wisdom. And the next thing, and I could really hear this coming from our mother Eve. Watch out for that devil. Watch out for that devil. We can easily forget the spiritual battle, can't we? I mean, it's just like, that's just what life seems to be made of, is just we're caught in the mundane. Even the exciting things of this life, we just get caught, and this is daily life, and this is the way this is, and this just happened, or whatever, but no. Just as he has been scheming from the very beginning, as we looked at last week, and he deceived Eve, it's the same devil, Revelation tells us, he leads the whole world astray. Watch out for the devil. With your children, help them to understand the spiritual battle. We each understand a cosmic struggle. It's much farther. See, just as with Eve, and they're standing there, if you can picture the beauty of Eden and the beauty of that garden, a garden that God planted. Are you kidding me? How beautiful. And it was just right down to Adam and Eve and that crafty serpent. But it had far reaching for billions of people to come, for generations to come, for all eternity. Things in play. And maybe not on the scale of Adam and Eve there, but still far reaching ramifications of the decisions. We want to make sure that we understand well, that's pretty good. I've got two copies of my notes, but I got it written here. On your study sheet, the Ephesians 6:12 in the New Century Version, our fight is not against people on earth, but against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness, against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly world. It's colossal. It's epic. And we need to make sure that our children, we have to balance it. Yes, kids have to go to school. We have to go to work. We have ground to plow and cord to plant and all of these different things. But we can't forget the spiritual element. And I think if he were to speak to us, I think, well, who better to give us a lesson on watch out for that devil, he'll get you. See, we go the other way and we want to blame the devil for everything, don't we? We've got the old Flip Sanders, devil made me do it and all. But the devil is there. It's real. So we can't back off of that. We don't want to blame the devil for our own willfulness and stubbornness, or we don't want to blame the devil for our own immorality. But he is a constant, powerful opponent, and we have right here, the sword of God. the shield of faith is how we stand, the breastplate of the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, all of that armor that Paul describes in Ephesians 6. So advice to mothers, trust God, love God, always stay with the Word of God, always stay with the plan of God, always reverence God, always obey God. Know the battlefield on which you must fight for your children. Focus on eternity. If you think about that with me for a minute, if I could draw a line and start over here and draw all the way across here, and that would signify eternity, but I mean it really wouldn't, because eternity is eternity, isn't it? Forever is forever, infinite is infinite. But say I could, and we were looking at that, and then I would put a dot on there, and that would represent our lives, just that brief, fleeting moment. And folks, this time on earth is that little bitty speck with forever ramifications. I know that can scare us to death, can it? And maybe it should. And maybe it should. As I say, we've got a balance, but it's right there. So what are we teaching our children? Can you see the importance then that we direct them time and again to the Word of God? We need to know that this is a spiritual battle beyond our capability. Stay true to God and His Word in everything. See, that's what Eve did not do. It got complicated, it did, but they made it complicated, and we do the same thing. But they had that truth that don't eat the fruit from that tree. The truth was very clear, but we will convolute things. We'll make it, and we have that, well, we say that again and again, it's complicated, and things can get very complicated. But we can never let that complication detour us from the clearly written Word of God. Our children must make their own decision, but eternity must be our focus with our children. Eternity must be our focus with our children. You get that thing wrestled down yet?
Yeah, it was going to take over preaching.
I thought maybe. Well, you know, I thought I might just listen for a little bit, see what they had to say. It might have been better. I sat with a group of men at one of our churches, and he was is talking about his son, and his son far away from the Lord, just not living for the Lord at all. But he said, but man, he's really making the money. And then he was off and running, talking about all the business ventures, and his son was making money hand over fist. And see, we'll take those. Well, the kids are doing well, but it's eternity, folks. This is a speck. This is just a speck, a wisp of vapor that we're here. It's eternity that matters. What we do here now, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? What we do here, the eternal impact. Understand that cosmic forces contend with your daily life as they did in the time of Eve, our first mother. And just let God give us a perspective. And you know, all of our things that we enjoy with Mother's Day, enjoy those. Enjoy dinner. Enjoy giving Mom the big head and telling her how wonderful she is and spoiling her today. And, you know, all of those, enjoy all that, but don't forget that bigger picture that all of us must face. That one day, you know, I can think of someone, I haven't seen them since, well, it was a heaven or hell message, and I haven't seen them in church since. But that's what it comes down to. Not my idea, not my thought, not something I came up with, but it's real. It'll be real to every one of us one of these days. But unfortunately, to the majority, it's probably going to be too late. Let's focus on... That's the negative side of it. Just very briefly, the positive side is that we have a chance on this dark planet to get it right in the grace and the mercy of God, to walk in His righteousness, to bring glory to Him. what exultant joy to stand before the throne of God. Do you believe one of these days you're going to stand before the throne of God? What exultant joy that you got some things, not everything right, but that we got some things right. But we've got to have an eternal focus. Mothers, happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, your love, your care. Pray this will be a blessing to our mothers in every way possible. In Christ's name, amen.